Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. God only knows why. Welcome to it. We got a full house.
I guess.
Yeah, we do.
I guess. And we're getting beat up by Matthew.
Wind is blowing to all our friends in who can't hear us because they have no power in Florida, Georgia, and the Carolinas.
Before I introduce our guests, I just want to shout out Tony Simon. Simon Says Train. A couple of days ago had the fourth or fifth diversity shoot here, and it was a packed house again. And Tony himself wasn't here because he's struggling with some health issues. He came earlier, dropped some stuff off, and he had to leave. So everybody just support him any way you can. He seems to be getting better and getting his problems under control. But it was a stand-up, standing room only diversity shoot. It was unbelievable.
Diversity and shoot, you shoot different kinds of weapons?
And we had everybody here. We had Maya from the Philippines, nice. And we had Rihanna from Burma, and we had Chandini from India, you name it. They were here. It was a diverse group.
The League of Nations, as our fathers would say.
Yes, and Jeff Valdez is having a baby, by the way. Actually, his wife is, but he said he was having a baby. And he gave me this pad, Butt Hurt Report, which is good. I'll be using this in the future.
You, yeah.
Anybody gets butt hurt, it's to assist whiners in documenting hurt feelings and routine uses for leaders and whiners should use this form as necessary. Man, oh man, could I use this? Let me tell you something. I'm surrounded by that. Everybody needs a safe space. So today we have two guests.
We need a safe space here.
Yes. Here's your safe space right there.
Yeah, I know, that's true.
James Hedham is a repeat offender here.
Yes, he is.
And James, welcome.
Something must be wrong.
Yes, James teaches our prepping.
Something must be wrong. Yes. That's why James is here.
He teaches our prepping classes. You know, and we call it a prepping class for lack of a better term. It's more of a preparedness class than prepping. And it's apropos, we had him scheduled to come on weeks ago, and Hurricane Matthew just hit, and I thought it would be a great time to discuss that, civil unrest during the elections. I've also been talking to people whose kids are in college, and if something was to happen while they're in their dorm, do they have a bag under their bed? Do they have a bag in their car? We're going to discuss that. And then we have the evil man in the range evil in the man. Studio today. His name is George Semberlis.
But why do you call him an evil
because
man?
Because George has been my personal trainer for about 15 or 16 months now. And he trains me 3 days a week at GT Fitness Concepts, which is literally a stone's throw from the range right behind
away.
Us.
Very short
George,
path,
welcome. Man.
How are you guys?
Good.
Thanks for having me here.
You're
George,
welcome.
George, if I give you $20, will you make him work harder?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Bigger
tires. That or we'll get Mistress Andrea to actually work
Mistress
harder.
Andrea.
Andrea Carr trains me on Wednesdays. Now, George and I are...
She wear, leather boots?
Yes.
We're working on that program, actually.
There's an up fee for that one, yeah.
As we've progressed over the year, George has... a year and a half. George has gotten on board. Him and his wife have taken training. They've gotten guns. Him and I spend a lot of time together. And he understands the dynamics and the physiology with shooting a gun. So I wanted to bring him on to discuss that a little bit because...
During our learning segment.
Yeah, I lost a lot of weight, and I think it could be helpful. But real quick, let's get out with some news first. The European Commission, the elites, told the British press they don't want them to use the word Muslim to identify terrorists anymore.
Well, that's...
They just want to use generic terrorists.
Generic terrorist.
Yes.
So the generic terrorist drove a truck through 500 people the other
day. And I wanted to get that out there. So because, again, it's that whole elitist thing. They don't want to use the word Muslim. And remember what I said. If you can't say the name or identify your enemy, you've lost the battle.
Already
okay?
Lost
your
them,
head is in your butt or your head is in the sand and you're done. So this is that whole elitist attitude. The only thing I will say after watching the Pence-Kane debate, if you interrupted me 72 times in the radio show, I'd
kick your ass.
I mean, really? But he Kane said something interesting.
You watched that whole thing?
Yeah, well, I was doing something that it was on. He said that Hillary killed Osama bin Laden.
I would need pentothal to watch
that. That's what Kane said. Kane said Hillary Clinton killed Osama bin Laden. I thought it was Navy SEALs.
Yeah, I thought it was SEAL Team 6 did that.
Okay, right? Did you guys think
that's
it?
That's what I
thought. I still wonder whether anything happened there at all.
Well, you're a conspiracy theorist. No, yeah. So
let's just get rid of the body in the middle of the ocean because we're...
And a couple other things.
And then it's funny
how
the entire team disappeared after that. there's nothing to be concerned about.
That's what happened with the Jimmy Hoffa, right?
Yeah,
the two hitmen came back to the boss and said, "We did it.
We did it."
And then two other hitmen killed them. and those two hitmen didn't know why they killed those two guys. So guess what? Yeah. Sonny Barger, the president of the Hell's Angels, said three could keep a secret if two are dead. Okay? And, you know, after I have the guy dig the hole and help me get rid of the body, he's going in on top.
Yeah,
he's filler.
You're filler.
So
you're just a liner.
George, check it out. I'm up to 992 calories today.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
I worked
actually.
Out with him before.
It's kind of like the beginning of Batman with King
of Heath
Ledger.
Over an hour and a half.
Yep, and my heart rate's down to 77 beats per minute. What?
77 beats per minute?
I'm down
resting?
To 77. Yeah, it's still going down, but I'm almost up to 1,000 calories. I can have a medium apple today with a tablespoon of peanut butter.
Yes! Hey, all right. Nice.
It's the
good.
Little things.
That's true. Because what does it take, 3,800 calories in order to build burn a pound off? Or
yes,
something like
yeah,
that?
35, yep. But yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's great. So
he's a doctor.
You could run in circles.
Listen, right. real
just keep
quick.
Keep going, then. You know, that's good.
In the Bohica section.
Yes.
Steve Sweeney is not running for governor. It's actually a bad thing. Because
billionaire
Goldman Sachs anti-Second Amendment Phil Murphy, a.k.a. John Corzine Light, is running for governor.
I don't know if you want to call him John Corzine Light.
Okay, I'll call him Bloomberg Light.
Yeah.
How's that? Bloomberg Light. Yeah. Another elitist, billionaire. This guy, listen to this, gentleman. He hired a focus group to get information on the lower and the middle class to help him better understand our plight. I kid you
only
not.
Only in Jersey.
Okay.
That's a typical Jersey.
I kid
Jersey.
You not.
Yes.
Because he doesn't, doesn't everybody have valet parking at their house?
No, that's, you know, it's a given, isn't it? I mean, is he going to live in Newark also?
Bohica.
And he still doesn't understand.
No, he's still. Bohica, bend over, here it comes again.
You mean you have to park your Bentley a block away? For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get...
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
What's a barrel shroud and why should we regulate?
I actually don't know what a barrel shroud is.
Because it's in your
legislation. It's the shoulder thing that goes up.
The shoulder thing that goes up. All right, real quick, this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic. W-A-L-D-O-R-F-C-H-I-R-O.com. Waldorf Family Chiropractic is conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Dr. Eric published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You. Real quick, then we're going to get into this getting prepared stuff. We found out that it was Christie himself and his largeness that that blocked the George Washington Bridge that day. He was, like Bibbendum.
There was a donut sale.
Okay, now if anyone doesn't know who Bibbendum is a German word. It's the Michelin tire man.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so that's
it's very good.
Now I'm going to tell you another reason why
just
you need.
Saying.
To, let's get into James into this class class action for Prepper 101. Hey. This is scary. This is another reason why we need to be prepared and be in good shape and have guns. Obama commutes sentence of a New Jersey man, but listen to this. A New Jersey man is among 102 individuals whose prison sentences were commuted. Because we don't care that cops broke their asses and prosecutors broke their asses and judges spent billions of dollars putting shitbags away. But here's this. This guy received 262 months behind bars and 5-year supervised release for conspiracy to distribute mixing crack cocaine and attempted murder and everything. So now he's out. He's out much earlier. But
it's attempted murder.
Here's the deal. Obama has now commuted sentences of 800 prisoners, more than the last 11 presidents combined. Okay?
Wait, 800 all in New Jersey?
No, 774 prisoners, more than the last 11 presidents combined in the U.S. This year alone, he has issued 590 commutations, the largest in any one year by any president. Okay?
None of them for tax fraud, I'm guessing.
Correct. And so this is interesting, but... Or he's just letting everybody out.
Are these all violent offenders?
Well, it doesn't matter what they are. They're people that made donations to campaign funds. They're people that, you know, that got to prod and probe the president's people. You have to make favors for this. But this guy, this president, unbelievable. Now, I've been saying for 7 years that Obama's going to be the next UN Secretary General, and I'm eating crow because they just anointed Antonio Guterres, who's a socialist from Portugal, who dragged Portugal down to where it's penniless and broke.
Right.
So now he's the Peter principle.
Well,
he gets promoted to the next level of ignorance, right?
Why don't you understand?
Obama will be the next Secretary General. Either
after
this
him.
Guy will die.
Mysteriously.
Okay? Yes, he'll get Vince Foster or something.
If he has something on Hillary.
Yes, yes. Or he'll resign. He'll resign, and Obama will be the next UN Secretary General because he's a globalist and he's an elitist. So it's coming.
Do they run in specific terms at UN? I'm not really too familiar with them, other than the twisted gun on the front lawn.
I told you, huge bulldozers push the entire UN compound into the East River and make it a park.
Yeah, park.
I will take that Colt Python and saws all the knot off, and I will use the existing part of the gun for a mailbox in front of the range. They have a Colt Python on the front lawn of the UN in New York.
I didn't know that.
It's huge, and the barrel's tied in a knot.
Yeah.
So what's the UN's agenda?
Yeah,
right.
Of course.
Yeah. And we sponsor them for free here. But anyway, I'm just saying. So you need to sit in his prepper course, by the way, George. So,
yeah, I would
so
love
James,
to, actually.
Your class is what day? October 15th.
Yes.
Is that a Saturday?
Yes.
What time?
9.
Night starts at 9, what, to like 1 or 2?
Yeah, it runs about 4 hours.
When James does the class, he brings 5 duffel bags and he has 5 million things. And my first question is, do I need all of this stuff? He's like, no, but I'd like to go over everything. So now what's going on
in
Hurricane Matthew? And we also, last week I talked about, or the week before, the doc who lived a block from the bomb in Seaside. From the attack, terrorist attack. We can't say Muslim anymore, right?
No,
the
it's a generic, said, the generic.
The cops came to his door and they're like, leave the house.
Right.
He couldn't take his cell phone. He had a bug out bag in his garage, but he couldn't take his car. He couldn't take anything. So talk a little bit about
everything
the hurricane.
Was blocked off, but,
Cops pulled everybody out because they cordoned off like a mile area because they were searching for more bombs. So it's like getting pulled out of your house. So Matthew,
it might
you
be a
have
little
to,
different, but if they don't want you to take your bag, they might be afraid.
He could have taken
in
his
bag.
He forgot.
Oh, he
because
just forgot.
You get in the heat of the moment. George, let's go. George, Ivy, grab your stuff. You got to go. I'm going to go.
Yeah,
and then you're just like, I don't have my phone. I don't have my bag. I don't have shit.
Right.
You have nothing on
he was in a neighbor's house watching what was going on from a distance.
And being New Jersey, you don't have any way to defend yourself either.
Correct.
You can't take that
Well, yeah, you could run and cower.
Yeah, you could run in
George
Cal.
Doesn't teach running Cal,
yeah,
by the way.
Sorry about that.
All right, so what do you want to talk about
sure,
first?
You,
well, let's talk about, like, it. Matthew. Let's talk about what would you do with Hurricane Matthew now.
All right, well, Hurricane Matthew, we'll put it to you this way. Category 1, I'll probably stay. Category 2, I might be debating back and forth as to whether or not I would stay or evacuate. We're talking like a direct hit on New Jersey. Category 3, I'm gone. There's no question about it. It's a predetermined decision that I've made that if a Cat 3 would be hitting New England area or New Jersey, I would evacuate. So now it's just a matter of, you don't want to be inconvenienced by evacuating when you didn't have to. So people kind of tend to wait till the last minute. But you need to just decide. It's far better for you to evacuate and suffer the inconvenience if you didn't really need to than it would be to get stuck behind the traffic jam trying to get out, while the wind is blowing and the trees are coming down.
Without any gasoline.
And by staying, you're really endangering.
You are. You're endangering yourself.
Not only that, but you're endangering the first responders.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's a rule in first response from the first responder training that I have. Is only fools rush in. They're not going to come out at the height of the storm. They will not put themselves in danger or in harm's way to save you. They're chomping at the bit. They want to come out and help you, but they can't put themselves in harm's way because they would be creating one less first responder and one more burden because now someone has to come rescue them.
Now, on top of Hurricane Matthew, Russia's starting to sow its oats right now. They might start a conflict with Obama and China, too. China with the Philippines.
Said, and now Obama has already said that he wants to enter, because this is a George Soros thing. He wants to enter into a war in Syria, which basically is a proxy war with Russia. And Russia now, Pravda said they said Thursday, that a nuclear war with the U.S. is imminent.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
So, President Obama, the 1980s did call. They said, no, you can keep the foreign policy because it's still an attack. Yeah.
So this is what we're dealing with. So
something like that happens. There's not much you can do. You're not going to know about it. I'm not going to know about it until there's a big bright flash. Right?
Correct. So,
and that just as long as you don't look at it and hide under your desk. I want one of those school desks that we used to have when we were kids because those friggers had to be made out of something. Right?
When you think about Catholic
it. You know
school,
why they do that, don't you?
No. So they can find the bodies.
So they can find the bodies.
Yeah, that's good.
Listen. Those desks were...
Those were some desks.
Yeah.
That's
we used to have to get under them during the drills.
And you couldn't look at the desk.
There's protection
they
there.
They used to.
Yeah. But cover radiation passes through stuff.
Yeah, it sure does. All right, well, this is a warning. We're coming back. Oh, I'm getting the...
Half a peace sign.
Half a peace sign.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
For most purposes, having these magazine clips that have more than 15 rounds in them, there's really no purpose for those except for shooting targets or shooting people.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites, libertyofficesuites.com. Ron Sousa has two places, one in Parsippany on New Road and one in Montville. Check out libertyofficesuites.com. George, the way Liberty Office works, it's like a timeshare. If you didn't have the offices above your place, you could rent it out daily, weekly, monthly, and gotcha. Use it, meeting rooms, you know, AV equipment. It's really, really cool, and Ron's a big supporter of the Second Amendment. October 21st, we have a new sponsor coming on, Sandy. I closed the deal yesterday, so more details to follow that for that. Fits right in.
I'm frightened.
No, fits right in. Okay. George, your place is GT Fitness Concepts. Is it
That's
Facebook?
Correct.
It's GT Fitness Concepts?
Yeah, GT Fitness Concepts on Facebook. And if you want to check out the website, it's GTFitnessConcepts.com.
That's GTFitnessConcepts.com.
That's $1,000. We charge $1,000. George, it's right behind the range. So James, we talk about all your toys, and the reason right. I have George here, we're going to segue into right. it. If you're 300 pounds overweight and you smoke 12 cigarettes a day, 12 cigarettes an hour, all the we were talking before, like if Jim was running up
you
five flights
we're
of
not
stairs
smokers, 12 cigarettes
and he
a day.
Passed out on the third floor landing, I'd
yeah,
step right over him
to
because
over him.
I got to go get help.
Yeah, absolutely.
See,
right?
I would hope that I was fit enough to help Jim.
No, but you're not supposed to.
Well, you have to at least be fit enough to
you're
take my bag.
You're not supposed to. Yes. Yeah, I'll take your bag, any money, cash, any gold fillings you might have.
Run your
pretty
pockets,
much that's it.
Leave you there.
Gold fillings.
Gold fillings.
Well,
nice.
We want to lighten your load.
Well, gold will go far. If there's like Armageddon, gold will actually be a good currency,
exactly.
right?
Absolutely.
Well,
actually,
you know, in a famine situation, if you weighed 700 pounds, you'd last longer than everybody
See?
Else.
See?
It's true.
In a situation like that, actually, the best form of currency I learned from my master, Masad Ayoub, 22 long rifle ammunition.
Right.
Can be shooting a handgun, can be shot in a rifle, can be used for small game hunting and self-defense.
I don't have
and
any
And it's $20
of
for a brick of 500. Yeah, yeah. you
well,
should
no,
have a couple of hundred
used
bricks.
Used to be $20 for
yeah,
a brick.
I don't know what it is now.
I don't either. I don't.
So talk about your class. So now we have the hurricane coming, or right. we have Russia ready to bomb. Basic stuff that we need. Throw us some tips, some gems.
Well,
George
you know,
wants to learn here.
George
he doesn't have a.
Well, he's
do you have
to
a bug out bag?
Learn.
Do you have a bug
I
out bag?
I do not have a bug out bag.
Not even
bag.
One.
Not
right?
one.
Okay. Like
no.
Ivy should have one in the car.
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Right,
so
go
yeah,
ahead.
The basic rule is you want like 72 hours of okay. supplies that you could use for yourself. And I say this to a lot of people. Over the course of your entire life, it's likely that you'll never have to evacuate at all.
Yeah.
And then second to that would be that if you did have to evacuate, it's likely going to be a point-to-point evacuation. You have advance warning of a hurricane. You're going to go from your home to a hotel, motel, out of state, friend's house, relative's house. So you're going to have a facility to go to. But still, you want to be able to do that quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So you have your bag, you have it ready. You're looking for at least 3 days worth of food or 3 days worth of water. So we're talking about high energy bars, things mm-hmm. like that. I mean Cliff bars or whatever.
Carbohydrates.
Yeah,
so they
carbs,
can hold you
right?
over.
So you
have
who
that
said
energy.
Carbohydrates?
Right. You want that energy.
We're not talking about donuts, Anthony.
Oh, okay.
Right. No Krispy Kremes.
No Krispy
But
creams.
Now the apple cider donuts come out.
Yes.
Now.
Absolutely. That's true.
They're done with pumpkin
season.
Spice already?
Very important.
Well, I look like a basic biatch.
Right. So now when it comes to water, you know, it's 8 pounds per gallon. Yeah. Right. So are you really going to be carrying a full ration of 3 days' worth of water.
Well, my cabin boy would be carrying it. But go ahead.
Gunga Din, right? He'll be carrying it for you. So you might have to ration that down. I have a pack. It'll hold nine bottles of water, and that's a pretty heavy amount of weight to suddenly throw on. So if you're not accustomed to carrying that kind of stuff, you know, I talk about physical fitness and your endurance. I had a student. He's in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. I had a student who had a severe limp.
Okay.
So these are things, your physical capabilities are going to weigh in on the decisions that you have to make for what type of gear, what type of things you want.
So but do the you basics think it's a good idea for somebody who has, say, a bug-out bag to maybe do some type of drills or practice carrying that bag in a
just like a
situation.
Fire drill in your house.
Yeah.
You want to run a fire drill in your house every other month with the kids, and do the whole thing, crawling on the ground. If you have those deployable ladders that go out the window,
yeah.
You have to prove that they can do that on their own, because if the fire separates you from your child, you're not going to be there to deploy the ladder for them and help them climb down. They have to be able to do it themselves. So that's one example of practicing. Just like with firearms practice, you can own a gun and you can have the ammunition, but if you don't practice, you won't become proficient.
Correct.
All right, so you have to develop that proficiency in the from the practical applications.
That tends to be the propensity of most people, right? They're not going to practice. They're going to buy the stuff, put it in a bag, put the bag in the trunk of the
right.
car.
Right, because the normalcy bias sets back in. Right. I'm not going to need this. Bad things don't happen.
And then when when they need that muscle memory to go and grab that bag, they're not going to be trained, and it's not there.
Right.
So now they're tired by the time they get to the sidewalk.
Scream. So you might want to change your clothes in there. Let's say there's a fire in your house. You open up the window. You throw your bag out the window. You follow it down the ladder. You're out there on the front lawn in your jammies, in your bunny slippers. You have a change of clothes in your bag.
Yeah.
Right? He just described.
Yeah, I know. He just described my entire closet, my entire night wardrobe.
I thought you wore onesies.
Nah, they're too hard
listen,
to get off.
I don't know. Listen, I've been to Egypt. I've been to China. I've been to a lot of places. I don't know how much James covers this, but baby wipes, baby wipes, baby wipes, baby wipes, baby wipes.
Right, right.
Go ahead, James.
Yes. Not a bad thing to have.
Not a bad thing to have.
TP or baby wipes.
Both is good.
Both is good.
But, and barterable.
But if you're, you know, looking at space in the bag and how much the weight distribution is. And the reason why I cover the backpacks is what if, and again, we can get into the likelihood of things happening or not happening. What if your evacuation suddenly went south, your vehicle broke down, or there's a big traffic jam, you're not going anywhere, and now your evacuation turns to a foot walk with your backpack. Yep. So if you've got a duffel bag with 50 pounds of stuff in it, that's going to weigh heavily on you walking lopsided. So you might want two bags that have 25 pounds each, so at least you're balanced and walking that way. A backpack that delivers the weight distribution to your hips so that your back won't fatigue. If it's just like a regular school backpack that only goes over the shoulders, and you're not going to make it very far. Your back's going to be killing you.
Would I be correct in saying that if you had a 50-pound backpack, if you worked out with George and lost 30 pounds, the backpack would be easier to carry?
Sure. Yeah, you have to work on your endurance. And it's not even just strength, it's also the endurance.
Endurance, right?
Can be strong enough to lift it and carry it, but how far can you take it?
You know, I post a lot and I have a lot of followers, and the people come in all the time, I lost 30 pounds because you lost 20 pounds, which is great. I'm glad I'm making people, you know, healthier and making them aware of it. But it's the truth that you have to, you know, you have to think about how you feel, like how we handle stress. Like, I went for an EKG yesterday for pre-op testing. My heart rate was 62. And the girl was like, oh, your heart rate's, you know, at resting heart rate for a 55-year-old guy is really good. You know, if my heart rate at rest was 76, Sandy, and the shit hits the fan, you know, I probably could redline, right?
Yeah.
How are you going to take care of yourself and your family?
Right.
And thinking about, with say you had a heart rate of 70 and then carrying that bag.
Right.
You know, what would happen?
And stress. You're worried about getting to your wife, your kids, your survival or whatever.
Well, it's your mental preparedness. And one of the things I talk about in the class is, are you prepared to lose it all? Some people will try to stay back and defend their home from Mother Nature, whether it's a wildfire or a hurricane, thinking that they'll be able to do something or not being able to part with their personal possessions. So can you snatch up that bag and run and not look back? Because when you come back to it, it might be a pile of rubble or a pile of ash.
Correct.
Yep. Right? So are you willing to sacrifice your life for your material possessions, or can you part with them?
Now, do you make allowances for any of the important papers, that sort of thing?
You know, it's kind of touchy, because if you take them with you, are you running the risk of losing them or damaging them? But you should have them prepackaged in a fireproof, waterproof safe. Your decision would be, I'm going to leave everything in the safe and hope that it survives the fire or the evacuation. When I come back, it'll still be there. or it'll be prepackaged so that, kind of like a gun safe, you hit the buttons, you open it up, you grab that package, and it's right there.
Sure.
Those documents are also protected.
Your birth certificate, your Social Security card, your deed to your house.
See, now I have
I can't find my Social Security.
Yeah, I have a folder that says private. Well, you weren't born here. You were in Kenya or in Indonesia. I have
actually Italy.
Yeah, but you have, but your Social Security number is the same as Connecticut, which is weird.
Yeah, the entire
All my documents. I have a folder on my phone, which I have the Apple Cloud thing. I have one that says personal, and my driver's license, Social Security, birth certificate.
Photographs.
I have photos of them all. And
even
if I lost my phone, and I always do that when I travel, too. I take a current picture, you know, and my ID.
Passport.
I do my passport, my stamp passport, you know, so they show that you got in the country legally.
Yeah.
I take pictures of my return flight tickets.
Just hope you don't lose your phone.
If I lose, well, no. If I lose my phone, though, I can go to any computer in the world and log on to the cloud.
Okay,
and
nice,
I can
nice.
I can go to any hotel concierge and say, "Can I use a computer?" And I can go on. So everybody has that, you know, Google Drive or whatever. There's a million.
Until the Russians and Chinese hack that.
Well, that's fine.
There's always going to be a risk.
But at least I know I if I need that, I have it. You know.
Right. So you want to be able to just grab that package of irreplaceable documents. They're extremely hard to you know, get those things back once they're gone. You want to have that packaged up so you can just grab it and toss it in the bag. If you have advance enough warning. Depends on the circumstance.
Yeah, well, look at that one situation down at Seaside Park. I mean, there's a bomb right outside your house. They come in and evacuate you. Just try turn around and go and getting something.
You know, we talk about this. People send their kids to college. So you got a kid that's going to college in South Florida.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You buy them all kinds of shit. They got a car. You set up their dorm, refrigerator, this thing, that thing, that thing. Do they have a fire extinguisher? Do they have an alarm, a temporary alarm for the door? And do they have a bug out bag?
Right.
All right. Your daughter gets the phone call that we're going to evacuate because Matthew's coming. If you had taken Jim's class, your daughter grabs that bag, her cell phone and her charger, gets in a car, or gets on the evacuation bus or something. All of her friends are going to be jealous because she's going to have a bag full of goodies.
Right.
You know, whatever it may be in there. But again, people will go to the mall and buy their kids all kinds of stuff for their dorm, spend $4,000 for their, you know.
They never think about that.
Correct. Right. Correct. And you'll sleep so much better at night knowing that they have something in their car. You know, your daughter's going to drive home from Richmond, Virginia from school. It's only a 6-hour drive. It's nice that she has a bag in the bag.
Everything I do.
Time and memories, the two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices, no interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
But some of these bullets, as you saw, have an incendiary device on the tip of it, which is a heat-seeking device. So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Now, this segment is brought to you by my bad attitude. Badattitude.com is me, okay? Just so you guys
know. Every segment was brought to you by your bad attitude.
Do you have a good attitude?
Yes. George is teaching me about fitness. I'm all about fitness, like fitness cheesesteak in my mouth.
He's still on this fitness. He's on a fitness. He's on a fitness high right now. We just worked out about an hour and a half ago.
He killed me.
He should be in a good mood for at least another hour. So.
Another hour.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that is a good mood. Considering I've seen others.
So let's talk a little bit about, like, you guys, these two guys in the radio studio. There's crossover because, you know, Jim, what do you talk about? You talk about being fit, right?
Yes.
But elaborate.
I got to elaborate too. All right, so we talked about this. How far can you walk just carrying the bags? Are you going to have the weight distributed properly on your back? These are, things are going to fatigue you, going to wear you down.
What about your, if you have a disability?
Yes, if you have a disability, like I said, I had one student, he was in a wheelchair. He's pretty much got it in his mind that he's going to shelter in places is going to be his priority.
Now, professional women, like that work in an office or something, would you recommend that they have a pair of sneakers in their bug-out bag
sure,
or something?
Sure, yeah.
A broken-in old pair, like you're just getting ready to, they're too dirty to wear to the gym anymore, so put them in the bug-out bag, in a Ziploc bag.
Right,
because
shoes,
if you get screwed,
socks,
if you're at work at 3 in the afternoon, they say evacuate, and you're wearing 3-inch heels, you know.
Right, like with 9/11 and the and the towers.
And the towers.
The people who evacuated across, across the Brooklyn Bridge.
Barefoot.
Yeah, barefoot. Or
climbing down 100 flights of stairs in high heels.
Barefoot.
So something happens, and Sandy, you're talking about a bomb goes off, something happens, you have that immediate evacuation. You know, you have your evacuation bag at home, which for me, my most comprehensive bag is at home, which is also like my camping bag when I go out with the scouts. But I've got a smaller bag that I keep in my vehicle. And that's with me when I go to work, so I have
that's
one at work.
That's a three-day bag, right?
Yeah, it's as close to a three-day bag as I can get, and with not becoming too overweight.
What's interesting is I've got a three-day bug-out bag there, but I guarantee you it's nowhere near what you've got. How big is yours?
It's actually, it's one, two, three, probably three compartments with a space in between two of the compartments. So I don't know how many gallons it is usually how they rate the size of the bag. But, you know, I've got 9 bottles of water. I've got a change of clothes, rain poncho, regular street maps, you know, Rand McNally street maps, lighting device, you know, flashlight, Cyalume sticks, glow sticks, ability to make fire. I probably take it a little bit over the top than what anybody else might want to. But
you
want to
go into arson on the side.
Yeah, you know, I might
and
just
if you
get
don't
the,
think you need a class like this and it can't happen here, I'll just leave this here. Elizabeth, Seaside, Chelsea.
Right.
Okay. If we were to triangulate that compared to where a majority of our listeners from New Jersey live, it's in your breadbasket.
See, there's a part of our survival instinct which causes us to contemplate the absolute worst. And one of the things is that if you're prepared for the worst, then you're prepared for anything that's to a lesser degree, which is fine, which is why it's not a bad thing to contemplate the worst. But sometimes you have to try to take a step back from the situation and kind of reevaluate and check yourself. It's kind of like normalcy bias. It happens without really thinking about it. So you kind of have to keep yourself in check. I mean, these bad things can happen. It's a very personal decision as to what it is that you're really trying to be prepared for. People are worried about North Korea perpetrating an EMP attack. Now there's this talk of Russia where they're doing practicing these drills, you know, 40 million people going into their shelters and talking about a nuclear war being imminent. So everyone has their own personal fear base. I never tell anyone that they're wrong for feeling that way. It's just this is the process that you need to use to evaluate.
Fear of clowns.
And
clowns?
Assess.
Clowns. I'm scared of clowns.
Oh, crazy clowns?
What the hell is
clowns
that? The crazy
after
clowns.
John Wayne Gacy,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So,
I mean, is there any preparedness for clowns?
Makeup remover.
Makeup remover. Which is good.
Mace.
In a hole. Yeah, mace. Mace is good.
Baseball bats, maybe.
Six or seven lipstick
bodyguards. There's got to be something that clowns don't like.
So now your prepping 101 class is 4 to 5 hours long. You always go overtime
in
the class, by the way. You know why? At the end? No, it's okay. At the end, he goes overtime, which because he's thorough. And then at the end, there's always one or two students that, while he's packing up, ain't leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want more and more info because
that'd be
James
you and me.
Is James is and he's there for them.
Right, we talk about
you
respiration protection.
The 15th, George, stop by around 9:15 in the morning and look at the spread in this classroom and just spend a minute with James and just look at the spread of the stuff and you'll garner some ideas from it. But you know, it's important. It's important to have a couple of bags. You know, again, like I said, just have something in your car. We didn't realize it, but you know, George, you're at the studio, and the cops. There's a bomb scare or something. They come and say, "All right, get out."
Yeah,
you know, your bug out bag should have a spare battery in it because your phone's going to die fast, especially with this new 10.
Yeah, there's all kinds
system.
Of nice charging systems that they have. It'll recharge your phone like three or four times.
You
now.
Gave me one. You gave me a crank one.
Yeah,
he gave me
crank
a crank charger, USB crank. I have it. I have a solar one, but you gave me the crank one years ago, and I still have it. It's in my bug-out bag.
And that's where you're going to get your information. That's where you're going to, you know, if you want to check the radio and see what's going on.
Right. Yeah.
Most remember Hurricane Sandy in Hoboken and Bayonne, the extension cords? People were offering free electricity outside to charge because they had generators to charge your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right away, you're going to be like, oh, shit, I needed this basic stuff, you know? And again, the reason why I have – and your class is when? October 15th. It's a Saturday. If it's 9 to 1 – I'm telling you, it's a great class. You're going to want to take the two from him after that, and he's going to give you a wealth of information. He was the one that taught us about the Sealoom light that runs on salt water. We all own them now.
Yeah.
He's got a little light that you put in salt water.
Okay.
Either you mix it yourself or get salt water. And how long will it burn?
850 hours.
Wow.
So you get a mace.
That's great.
You can turn it on and off by taking it in
and out of the water.
And how big is it? How
much space
does it take up?
About the size of
a mason jar, half filled with water, and now you have a light for 850 hours with no energy. You mix salt and water.
And it'll work with fresh water. It'll just be brighter with salt water.
And if I didn't come on the show today, I would never knew that it existed.
Right.
We when we touted it on the show,
Anthony,
we ran out. Amazon.com ran out.
We ran out,
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I should get kickback for
that. Did you get like a commission or something?
What did I give you?
Nothing.
Oh, you said I gave you
usual.
Something.
Oh. No, yes, you did give me something.
We don't own Amazon. What the hell? What,
sorry.
You didn't profit
I got
from
confused
it.
I bought them on Amazon.
We didn't even get $1,000, James.
You gave me something from Red Cross. It was a similar thing.
Yeah,
it was a small little package.
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to test those.
Okay.
Right, but I will.
Works on salt water.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And with that one, you just kind of put like a couple of drops of water into it, and it's like self-contained.
And you just forget about it. I mean, you could have a plastic container on a chain.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're big advocates of light sticks and everything, and he goes over all the basic to the advanced stuff, but, that was Sealoom. That was the best thing ever, man. I mean, it was like, I bought six of them, and I just have them in my bags. Yeah. I have one in the kitchen in my house.
You're the reason
for
the
junk
shortage.
Drawer. The radio show was the reason for the shortage. Everybody was emailing me.
Two and a half million listeners.
And we ordered them up.
It was like, whoa, Amazon melted.
Oh, we should celebrate real quick, too. The kid that he pled guilty to the knockout game in Patterson, where he knocked out the handicapped guy, he got three years in prison.
Did somebody knock him out in prison?
No, not yet.
Well,
but the hairdo he has, he'll be setting a new style, trend.
Did Obama let him out?
Not yet. He'll commute his sentence.
Pretty soon,
because he didn't mean to punch him. Go ahead.
Medications. You're dependent on medication. What would you do on medications? For your
Some medications are hard to come by. You can't get more than a month's worth of your dosage. It depends on what
You could buy them. Right?
But you could also hotwire an old tow truck, and you could open a CVS when it's closed.
That's true.
Which is always, always a way to do that.
We actually discussed that because when the storm hits in the aftermath.
Yes. If I need my medicine, I'm opening the CVS.
Pretty much.
The police aren't going to be guarding your house. They're going to be guarding the CVS.
Yeah, oh, shit.
Well, that's what my wife said. She said, what are you going to do? But why don't you have like a 6 months worth of medication? You could just get it in Canada, whatever, cheaper. And I said, well, I've got a P90 and six boxes of ammunition. So
you could just go shopping.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
And no conscience.
And
when it comes to protecting you and your family.
Damn right.
When it comes to it's supposed to be.
But you should have, I guess, if you're medication.
Yes, you want your medications,
right?
your prescription glasses. I can't really afford a second pair of prescription glasses just now, so I've got a magnifying glass
in my
bag. They
have that thing in the night infomercials where you dial in your prescription for $19.99 or something like that. Yeah.
All right.
It's not a bad idea. You could just buy a pair of $5 readers too.
Basically.
You know they make safety glasses with corrections in them now. Yeah, You've seen them?
Yeah, my son.
They're in the bottom.
Yeah, my son, he has prescription swim goggles. They even make those.
Wow.
Which is nice too.
What do we got going on?
I'm with hair.
I'm with hair.
Somebody just held up a great Trump
in
shirt.
The window with
it's Donald Trump's hair over Killer Hillary.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, you're talking about civil unrest and everything.
This is pretty good, it's excellent. I'm with the hair.
I'm going to wear it. I got pins for you guys.
Pins, too.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you so much.
I went to
Jules. Wow, we got a whole crew out there.
I made those up. And
come on.
I'm going to take a picture and post it.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you, guys. Be safe. See what goes on here?
Yeah.
Nuts.
You want Jules to come in?
Free,
you want Jules
free swag?
In. No.
You're number
He's giving
one.
Him. The number wow. One. Okay. There we go.
I'm with hair. Look
All right.
at that.
I love
dead
that.
Air. We're still
That's
here.
Hilarious.
No, we're still on.
I don't know.
What do you mean dead air?
What?
We're talking about James.
Dude.
It's hot air.
It's friggin' radio. They can't see what you're holding
up. You don't know what you're missing.
It's like the applause light.
You don't know what? Steve Elber gave me that. Right, it's not for radio. It's for TV. But I thought it was so funny that I turned it on. I've been turning it on every show
for the room.
For what, 5 years?
5 years.
So
every show we got an applause sign in the studio. Sorry.
So I want George. I want you to stop by George from GT Fitness. I want you to stop by anybody who hasn't signed up for Prepping 101. You have a couple of days left. I think the class is about 70% full. Last time I checked, it's been growing with a cult following because people are taking it and then they're going home and they're like, oh my.
Yeah.
This is, I learned, holy shit, I'm totally unprepared. All I got is this Swiss Army knife and a half a case of water that I bought when I went food shopping.
And a can of tuna fish.
Yeah, yes. One can of tuna without an opener.
Yeah, and a Mounds bar that's like got white shit all over the outside.
Oh, God.
Nice.
So, you know, it's important to do that, and it's also important, you know, I post get fit, get healthy, get off your ass. What's your excuse? And I got to tell you, I'm in much better shape to handle a situation. I'm in much better shape to defend myself and my family than I was 3 years ago, and I think it's important. Last segment, we're going to talk about how you can improve your shooting and your endurance with George from GT Fitness. Don't.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
This right here has ability with a 30 caliber clip to disperse with 30 bullets within half a second. 30 magazine clip in half a second.
Crank it on, crank it up, let's go, crank it up, crank it up, it's Gun for Hire Radio.
So, this segment is a to the knockout kid. I hope they knock his bottom out in prison.
Yeah, absolutely.
For punching it in a defenseless person, just suckering and cold cocking the person. I hope when he's in prison every night in his bed crying for his mommy, he enjoys himself. So George and I met 16, 18 months ago. He started to shoot now, and he's understanding what it's like to hyperextend a gun for long periods of time, like holding someone at bay while you're waiting for the police. Going from a kneeling position, standing position.
George doesn't
position.
Look like that's a real issue for him.
He doesn't need, he's built like, he looks like Adonis over there. But so George, talk about, you've been doing research. You and I have been communicating a lot because we'd like to come up with some classes and some training along that line. So go ahead, hit us.
Well, I've been doing some research about, functional training and shooting and so on and so forth. And what I got from my research is that, fitness goes hand in hand with being able to shoot. Give you an example is from, like you said before, going from a kneeling to a prone position and then have to go mobile and be able to shoot under pressure, your heart rate's being elevated. So I think a fitness program would really benefit someone who's a regular shooter. Those who are looking to get, be ready for an urban shooting type of situation, I think it would be beneficial. And also, too, is I think being fit is really important, especially when a perpetrator is looking for a victim. I think they're going to pick out somebody who looks weak.
Predators look for prey.
Exactly.
Right.
right. week.
And I think being fit and looking, you know, in shape, you know, that person who's looking to rob somebody, they may avoid that fit person and go after the person who looks like they're weak and they couldn't defend themselves. Then also, too, I think in a shooting situation, having a smaller profile, right? You know, creating yourself to be a smaller target, I think, would be beneficial as well. You know, if someone's trying to either rob you or someone who's inexperienced and who may actually shoot at you, I think being a smaller target gives you a better chance of surviving that situation or being held up or robbed. I think fitness is definitely an important element to being able to shoot and shoot accurately in a situation where you might, you know, your adrenaline is rushing or pumping. So
what do you think about like MMA or martial arts or any kind of self-defense?
I think that's great too because, you know, not for nothing in an urban situation, you may not be...
It's a Jersey expression,
yeah.
Huh?
What's that?
Not for nothing.
Not for nothing.
Not for nothing.
You know, I think in an urban combat situation in close quarters, you may not be able to pull out your gun if you're in a state where you can carry. You know, you need to be able to defend yourself, understand hand-to-hand combat, how to disarm somebody. Krav Maga actually is a great martial art where they show you how to disarm somebody, you know, who has a gun against your, you know, back of your head, behind your back. So I think that actually is a great point. I think MMA or doing something like Krav Maga or some type of self-defense
it's part of
would
your
help.
Preparedness too.
Yep.
That Krav Maga is deadly. I was down at Jose's training facility down in Philly, and mm-hmm. one of the guys down there he's a former Israeli commando and an expert in Krav Maga.
Yeah.
Whew. I've
but
seen
any
that in
grappling,
action.
Lifting, yeah. push-ups, yeah. he has right. me doing planks. I'm like, what is this? And now I notice like my core so much stronger. I also notice as a typical guy, I used to be able to go food shopping and be able to grab like 60 of those plastic bags, so I only had to make one trip in the house.
Right, right.
I can do like 80 now.
Yeah.
Okay?
But those are those little things that's your gauge of how right. you're improving physically.
Right.
But it's true. Listen, I went for pre-admission testing, fourth floor. Guy said, elevator's over there. I'm like, where's the stairs?
Yeah.
I went up the stairs.
We'll take the stairs.
Fourth right. floor. You know,
it's a simple alteration in your
correct.
Activity.
Correct. But looking at it from the gun aspect now, I've gotten so much more stamina. I've gotten so much more strength, so much more wind.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about it from a stressful situation. Again, guys, if your normal heart rate is 80 and you're getting the shit, it's the fan, it's going to 200. Sandy, as a doctor, is 200 good?
The 200 is probably not the best.
Right. Hmm. So, again, if you get it down
especially
to
a resting
heart rate at 62 and it only goes up to 140, 150, right. you've brought your heart there yeah. up there before.
And you made a good point to me before where, you know, the situation, what's the average response time for police officers to come to your house?
11 minutes in the United
11
States.
11 minutes. So now if you have to keep a perpetrator like, you know, at bay with your firearm for 11
extended
minutes.
Extended for 11 minutes.
Extended for 11
Try
minutes.
Try that.
Let's see how many people can actually keep their arm right. extended out and keep that person at bay.
Those
at
home, try that. Try that with a rifle. Try with a shotgun. Try with a handgun.
We do that
drill
in our urban classes. We have them hyperextend the gun and verbalize. And we don't let them, they can't see how much right. time elapses. And we have 10, 12 guys and girls screaming on the line, don't move, give your hands down. And then we blow a whistle when it's ready to fire. And yeah. we go back and we question everybody. I just want to tell you, they're all off right. by 5 to 7 minutes.
Right. And the best way okay? to desat your oxygen level is to hold your hands out and start yelling.
Correct.
People tend to forget to breathe.
All
yeah.
the time.
Right, yeah.
And by working out with him, and again, yeah, I
we
become
emphasize the breathing as well.
Yeah,
right?
He's
yeah.
always
a lot of
telling
times,
me breathe. I forget
yeah,
to breathe.
Yeah. You get
exhale,
so caught up
breathe.
In the actual movement itself, but you totally forget about, you know,
breathing.
You know what
oxygen.
Else? You know what other parallel? As having a trainer, he's constantly telling me, put your head up and open your eyes. Because yeah. when he has me doing shit like the ropes and stuff, I'm getting so fatigued, I close my eyes and put my head down.
Yeah.
That would be like running from something and closing your eyes and putting your head down.
Right.
And running right yeah. into danger instead of away from danger. Because you get fatigued. Yep. So what happens yep. is all parts of your body start to shut down. It's like, I need to save energy, so I'm going to close my eyes and put my head down. Like not a good situation.
And as we physically start to get fatigued, we start to break down in our core. So our lower back starts to get tired. We start to bend over. You know, so training for endurance will help to keep you standing upright and keeping focus on what's coming at you. Or if you have to get away and evacuate, you're not going to break down as fast.
That would help the people in Florida for the aftermath when the alligators and the snakes are all out.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, well, and true. Also the triathlon starts, shoot, loot, and scoot
yeah.
after that.
Which, because you know, that's exactly
well,
what's happening.
Well, that's the bigger problem, you know, after the storm is actually right. making sure that your valuables are not being stolen from your house.
One of the worst things you'll have to deal with is people.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
But again, if you're not healthy enough to board up the windows on your house, how are you going to help your family? How are you going to help yourself?
Right.
Absolutely.
And like you say about training all the time, in the case of a situation of any kind of an emergency, you resort to your lowest level of training.
Correct.
And that's it. So what you're saying is that by being fit, by training your core, by training for fitness, and understanding that you're supposed to breathe, you're just doing it naturally. So now you don't have to remind yourself it's time to breathe now.
It becomes part of your muscle memory.
Right.
It becomes just a routine thing. And even when, you know, shit hits the fan, you know, your body knows how to respond.
That's why in my class I try to teach people by giving them the tools that they would need to take home with them so that they can do it on their own. I'm not just going to tell you that you need A, B, and C, and D in your bag.
But James, you're also teaching them to have the proper tools to conserve valuable energy.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about George here to increase your stamina and energy level, but you're also on the other edge of the sword. By having this, you won't have to go and forage. By having this, you won't have to.
That comes
hand in hand.
Yeah. I actually cover that a lot more in prepping, too. If we can get that off the ground, I need people to sign up for that class. Yeah. It's probably going to be next summer in June, July time.
Well, because you need it to build that base of prepping one, because it's the pyramid. Right. Not a lot of people are going to be taking it because it's in an undisclosed location.
Right.
And he basically gives you a pocket knife and throws you in the woods.
It's not
like
that
bad. I was in that survival thing in Arizona. Remember the 14 of us?
Right.
I was out there for 2 weeks, George. There was 14 of us. At the end, they picked us up. They only recovered 13 of us, and I was the only one who had gained weight. My partner's nickname was Samage.
Samage. And it doesn't have to be this doesn't really have to be just about, you know, disaster preparedness or whatever.
I mean, walking in a parking lot.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for competitive shooters, I had the exercise phys at the hospital. Mm-hmm. To try, give me exercises, I said, to help me improve my trap and skeet game and, you know, clay games. And she said, well, there's really nothing I can give you here. Show me the movements, right?
Yeah.
She said, you're better off practicing with your gun. So that's exactly what I'm doing now. You know, you're doing maybe mounting that firearm. And it does two things. You're mounting the firearm 100 times a day, so you're getting that muscle memory, so you're automatically going from a ready position.
Well, George does that with me. We do dumbbells and stuff, like we're hyperextending the gun. And he makes me hold weights and kneel down.
Going
from
a kneeling position, standing up with 15-pound dumbbell in one hand, creating an unstable environment, so on and so forth. So
a lot of balance stuff, you know, because you're going to be throwing off kilter and off
constantly,
balance.
Right.
He constantly has me doing stuff like that.
So for you hunters out there, this would be an ideal thing.
So you don't fall out of your tree stand.
So you don't fall out of a damn tree stand.
Listen,
a lot of those accidents.
Or you can fight the bear when it climbs the tree.
Correct. Good luck. Rassles. Listen, a lot of hunters have heart attacks every year.
Absolutely.
Climbing out there, climbing through the woods. They don't do anything sedentary all year. And then they walk into their tree stand, they have a heart attack. So George, how do we find you?
You can find us either at our website at gtfitnessconcepts.com or check out our Facebook page, GT Fitness Concepts, on Facebook.
Get fit, get healthy, get off your ass. What's your excuse? James Hedham, October 15th, Prepping 101. It's a Saturday from 9 to 1. Please come down and check it out. Napping will be here the day before, October 14th. We will be doing a live broadcast with the great one, Evan Napping. If you didn't get tickets, sorry, it's sold out. November 1st is Chris Tonto Peranto from Benghazi. What difference does it make, Hillary? We also have Active Shooter Prep October 25th, Protective Pen October 30th. We have First Aid, Low Light, No Light, Urban Pistol, New Class, Defensive Flashlight November 18th, Urban Shotgun 1, Protective Cane November 26th. Urban Carbine 1, CPR and AED, Urban Pistol 1, Urban Carbine 2. I'm done.
Just a fun thing to do, go on our Facebook page and let us know where you listen to this sausage factory.
Gun for Hire Radio, Facebook.
Gun for Hire Radio, Facebook. Well, you've done it again. Looks like you've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and their license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, James, thank you very much, George. Thank you for coming in and
thank you for
sharing all the and doing all those planks in the hallway. That was very nice. I really appreciate that. It made me feel guilty.
He made me do jumping jacks.
Jumping jacks. Jumping jack flash. Shits a gas. All right, well, we love you guys. Winston, it's time to wake up and say goodbye to the folks out there. Winston. We love you guys. Like he says, see you next week.